This is the Apple This Extra.
Welcome to another episode of the Apple This Extra. My name is Michael Hansen. I'm joined by Alex Hall. Hello, Alex.
Hey, Michael. How are you?
I am doing wonderful, especially since I am really excited to be interviewing our guests. But before we get to that, we are also joined by Mr. Scott Davert. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Michael. Good evening. I am also very excited to be here. Hope you're having a good day.
I am, and I have been really looking forward to talking with our guest. Today, we're going to be joined by Matt King. Matt is a member of Facebook's accessibility team. Of course, as we know, Facebook has been doing a lot of things to make its apps and services more accessible to blind and low vision users over the last couple years. Matt, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk to us, and welcome to the Apple This Extra.
Oh, thank you very much, Michael. I appreciate the opportunity. I'm an Apple Viz fan, and so it's a real pleasure to be on the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for your kind words there. So before we get into the question specifically about Facebook, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to work at Facebook.
Well, I've been working in the accessibility arena for a very long time. My first full-time job in accessibility was in 1998. I was at IBM, and I took on the job of making the IBM workplace more accessible to people with disabilities for the chief information officer. And over the years, I evolved that into a senior technical lead for accessibility at IBM. And then I got contacted by Facebook. And that was just almost a year ago now. And I started at Facebook last June.
Well, that's awesome. And we're really, you know, Facebook has really upped its, you know, accessibility efforts in the last few years. I would say I remember with version 5.0 of the app back in 2012 was when we really first started to see major accessibility improvements. Tell us a little bit about the Facebook accessibility team, what your role is in the company, and when you guys got started, and how is accessibility integrated?
So we have our core accessibility team is part of the UI infrastructure engineering team at Facebook. The core team is roughly half a dozen people with several members of other teams who are participate in all of our team meetings and so forth from other parts of the organization, ranging from product operations and quality to user interface design and data sciences. So, it's a pretty good sized team when you include all those other people, and very vibrant, I might add.
Now, is accessibility, is it implemented? Do you guys do it at the design level, or is it, you know, how do you guys test for accessibility?
We like to, of course, include things in design wherever we can. So let's tackle that from a couple different angles. The accessibility team was formed in 2011. And of course, by 2011, Facebook was already a fairly substantial suite of products, but all web-focused. And the move to mobile happened shortly after that. And so what you can see from is clearly evidenced in our products is that code that was written for mobile that happened after the formation of the accessibility team is definitely where we've had much larger influence. Of course, a lot of that happened before I was here at Facebook. So the experiences there have been designed with accessibility from the ground up. The web, on the other hand, is a much larger challenge. And not only is it more complex in terms of the number of products and the number of features, it's also the nature of the UI, but it's also the nature of the technologies required to make it accessible. So we have component libraries for the web that are designed and built to be accessible from the ground up. But getting those across the entire code base is definitely a long-term iterative process.
Well, one of the really cool things that I have recently heard about is the release of a new feature that you guys have been working on to help make photos more accessible to blind and low vision users. What can you tell us about that?
Well, we have been able to collaborate with a team at Facebook called the Artificial Intelligence Research Team, or Facebook Artificial Intelligence Research Fair. And they have, as part of their suite of technologies, object recognition capabilities, which, as we know, has become fairly common throughout the industry to use AI to recognize objects. What's different here is that we're actually taking advantage of that capability to automatically generate alt text for photos that will show up in newsfeed, in people's timeline on their profile, and in the feed of groups, and eventually across all of Facebook's products and surfaces. Initially, we're going to launch this first version just for iOS on April 5th. And then we will be building it out to all the other surfaces, Android and the web and mobile web over time. And so that's this is just a first version. So it's really important to set this in context. The analogy I like to use that is understandable by a lot of people who are blind who've been around for a while is that when we first had OCR, optical character recognition for books, you know, back in the 80s, and the first Kurzweil reading machines were coming out, you couldn't have any specks of dust on the page. There couldn't be any creases. The font had to be just right, and then you might get 90% of the text on the page. And obviously, over time, that's gotten much better. And I think that's kind of where we are with object recognition technology. Conditions have to be just right in the photo. We don't recognize every kind of object, i.e. we don't recognize every font, if you will. And so there's a lot of room for improvement, but the whole idea here is that we're starting to take a step down this new path of being able to use artificial intelligence to give people who are blind equal access to visual information. And to me, that is, that's what's new and different here.
That's awesome. Because I know I'm probably not the only one who can relate. So much of what people put on Facebook are photos. And, it's like, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm afraid to hit the like button on anything unless I absolutely know exactly what it is. And that means that I'll see people will post something that I'm pretty sure I think I can guess the context of the picture or whatever, but I'm afraid, I don't know what it is. I don't want to hit the like button. What if it's, something I can't see and don't want to like something that's, hugely objectionable or something? Because this is really, really cool. Now, can they recognize text? You see people will share things that, it's got, text that's someone took a picture of text and shared it. Can it recognize that yet?
Not yet. Well, I shouldn't say not yet. What I mean is we won't surface any of that yet because the level of confidence that we've captured all of the text is still very low. So one of the things that is difficult about this is striking the balance between giving as much information as we can and making sure that that information is trustworthy and reliable. And there's something in AI called the precision recall curve. And essentially what that means is the lower the level of precision that you ask for means you're going to get something recalled much more often, which also means that it might be showing up in the description, even if it's not there. If you require higher levels of precision, of course, you're going to get much less recall. In a perfect world with precision set at 100%, you'll have recall of 100%. That's the absolute perfect world where we can be totally confident that what's in the picture is in the picture, and every single picture that has that thing in it, we call it out.
Now
we're a long ways away from that point, and text happens to be one of the things that's exceptionally difficult to get a high enough level precision.
Scott, you were going to ask something. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry about that. Now, this is being officially announced, but I know that some users on my timeline, unfortunately I wasn't one of them, but some of the people on my timeline who use iOS noticed that they started seeing some of these descriptions showing up in their timeline previously. So this is that's kind of has been in the experimental phase, right?
That is correct. In fact, we have done some studies, and we did some user research where we brought people into Facebook and interviewed them in a usability lab. And we've also done some broader experiments. Most recently, we ran for 2 weeks an experiment where 5,000 people had the image descriptions turned on and 5,000 people did not. And we were working on gathering some data in aggregate to see whether or not it had meaningful impacts on the way people were engaging. At this point, it's a little early to draw any conclusions from these studies, but that is one of the reasons why you noticed that.
So I gather that, is this feature going to be available to all VoiceOver users on iOS now starting on the 5th of April?
That's correct. Initially, just iOS. That's our first platform where we're launching.
And is it going to come with an app update, or is it just going to, you know, do we have to do anything to receive it? How can we make sure we've got it?
You won't have to do anything at all. It'll just show up.
Awesome.
Wow. Awesome. Yeah, absolutely.
So what other accessibility features does Facebook have for blind and low vision users? I know, for example, VoiceOver, in iOS, you guys implemented rotor actions. Awesome. But, what now?
Super. Glad to hear it.
Oh, the rotor, that is awesome, awesome, awesome. That makes it so much easier and so much quicker to just go through and read through things and like things and now react to them. What other things have you guys implemented recently, and where can people go to learn what's available as far as accessibility support on Facebook?
Well, first, I'm really happy to hear that you love the rotor actions. That was one of the things that I was a big advocate for after I got here.
Thank you.
Haven't been a fan of the two-finger magic tap in News Feed simply because sometimes your music will start playing or something else will happen that you're not really expecting. So, but the two-finger magic tap will stick around as long as we have significant numbers of users on iOS 7, because those rotor actions won't work in iOS 7. You also notice that you can now react. One thing that you may not know, unless you have hints turned on, is that if you double tap on a story and you go to the like button in that story and you decide that you want to react instead of just like, you can also get that react menu by doing the VoiceOver equivalent of a long press, which is double tap and hold, and you'll get that react menu by double tap and holding on the like menu.
I did not know that.
Coming down the road, another area where I'm hoping we're going to have some improvements in the experience for VoiceOver users in quarters to come could be in the video experience. Video is getting to be much more popular on Facebook. And so we have some improvements that we want to make there. And you can expect more improvements in the automatic alt text itself. Again, coming out on day one is pretty limited in its capabilities, but we're going to be continuously evolving that to make the experience better and better. And we are always interested in feedback, both
you
in terms of what
read
you
my mind. That was going to be the next question I was going to ask is, where can people go if they want to submit feedback or have an issue or, you know, have a compliment? Where can they go? What's the best way to get in touch with you guys?
So there is an accessibility specific form. If you go to facebook.com/help/accessibility and choose the contact form there. And that's one of the most effective ways. All of that feedback is read by our team, and we are, like I said, we love getting feedback through any channel, but that in particular. Another way to both follow what we're doing and to also provide comments is to go to facebook.com/accessibility, and that's a Facebook page where we post updates as to what's going on with the team. Some we do at least one update a month, and sometimes we have some special features that we'll put out there, like we will for the launch of automatic alt text.
Well, thank you very much, Matt. We really appreciate that you took time to come and talk with us here on the AppleVis Extra. We also, probably more so, we really appreciate everything that you guys have been doing to really make Facebook as inclusive of an experience as possible with, you know, how integrated social media is in our lives. You know, I speak for not just myself, but a lot of other people, and we say thank you so much for the time that you guys are putting in and for your interest in, you know, making the experience not just accessible, but meaningful.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And it's my life mission to make the world a better place for people with disabilities. And just a really strong believer in the power of connecting people with one another. And, you know, I think most of us have a story about how, especially if you went through a transition like I did from having pretty good vision to none at all, that it's really people that pull you through those experiences.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So being able to connect anybody with a disability that's going through anything like that is just something that's really personally very important to me. And I'm glad that you guys appreciate what we're doing. We have a lot in store for the future, and we hope to only make it better.
Well, thank you very much. My name is Michael Hansen. This has been another episode of the AppleVis Extra. Thank you so much for your time, everyone, for tuning in. And, of course, go ahead and go check out the Facebook app where auto alt text is now available.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the AppleVis Extra. To learn more about us, visit our website at www.applevis.com. Follow us on Twitter @AppleVis and like us on Facebook.